listen, we have been talking about how the enemy operates. We've been talking about the armor. If last Wednesday, if you were here, you'll remember that I hinted something about what that we should probably start and do a series on the armor of God to coincide with what we're learning here on Wednesday nights. And I started that on Sunday morning. Listen, let me just ask this with a show of hands. Since last Wednesday, has anybody noticed a upswing in the attack of the enemy on because of what we have been talking about? Anybody? I'll tell you what, it is unreal. It's completely unreal, some of the attacks that I've been taught, that I've been told about, that I've experienced. Listen, the last thing the devil wants is for you and I to understand our position in him. The last thing that the enemy wants for us to understand is that we have power over him. That's the last thing he wants. He does not want that. He wants to keep you and I under his thumb. And that is not the place for the child of God. We're going to talk about one of the other, you know, we were talking about the attributes of God, and one of the things that we talked about last week in Ephesians chapter 6 and 11 was we were talking about how does Satan operate, and we said through subtle tricks and schemes according to Ephesians 6 and 11, and it says that put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. And I was on the phone today talking with Bob, and Bob shared with me a vision that I want for him to come and talk about. That actually Janice had the vision. It spoke to Bob. Bob shared it with me, and it like rocked me. And so I want you to come, Bob, and I want you to just share what you shared with me today.
All righty. It's on?
Yeah.
Okay. You can probably hear me anyway, but yeah, this is many years ago, and Janice actually had this picture that the Lord gave her, and it was about the armor, and I've kind of, it's sort of evolved into my deal, but it started with Janice, and it was about this armor room where her armor was and where our armor is. And I know this probably isn't scriptural, but this was the picture that we got. And in the room was the armor hanging up on the wall. This is in the morning. You're starting off your day and going to the armor room. And in the armor room, and then in my part of the picture was the Lord. And the Lord is in there. He's been in there all night long. Sharpening my sword, buffing up my shield, getting everything back into working order so that I can use it. And all the armor in there, and I think this is really important, that we all, I think it's all different for each of us. It's not just one thing fits all. It's something that God has made specifically for us to fit our needs and our constitution, the way we live our life. And it's all the pieces of the armor that Pastor Shane will talk about, but it's all for us. And it's prepared for us in the morning as we get up, the first thing in the morning. And we've been doing it for years and years and years, is we get up in the morning, we have our prayer time, and we say, Lord, put our armor on us, Lord. And sometimes we go through every piece. And fill us with your spirit. And then the bottom part of that scripture, it says, and pray all the time.
Yeah.
So you get your armor on, you're ready to go. And when Janice shared that with me the very first time, I went away, and you know how you'll hear something and you kind of start putting it together for you, how it fits you. And the Lord showed me that I got up, and it was just a narrow hallway, and there was a door on the right, and that's where he was sharpening my my sword and getting all the dents out of the from yesterday. And I walked by the door. I looked in there and I saw, you know, this is kind of silly, but I felt like I saw the Lord in there sharpening and getting everything going. He kind of looked up and I walked by the door and just kind of went, yeah. You know, like, I got it. I got this day. And he, you know, as I developed this more, I felt like he got up and he's leaning out the door and he says, no, you don't. You have no idea what's going on today. Get back in here. Get your armor on. Get prepared for the day because you have no idea what. And that little picture for me helps me every single day.
Right.
Is don't go by the door.
Right.
Don't leave the house without it. Don't maybe even get up. You get your armor on because, you know, next thing you know, the phone rings. Next thing you know, something happens and you're not prepared for it. And at the end of the day, you're a wreck. So as we get into this, I'm excited to see where we go with the armor, how it's going to fit us. And when we were talking about it today, I just felt like, this is a reoccurring theme that we're hearing here. Is we're in this thing, you guys.
Yeah.
We are totally in this thing. Whatever happens tonight and with this election and everything, we're in it. We're in the middle of a battle. And I think we better get our armor on every single day,
right,
all day long. Maybe a couple times a day we need to go back in there and get our sword sharpened and get the dents pounded out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, thanks, man. You can just take that with you. That's what I wanted to hear. That's what I wanted him to share. When he was talking to me about that today on the phone, and he said, yeah, the Lord was in there and he was pounding the dents out of my armor. That struck me so hard because I'd never even had that had never even crossed my mind. Listen, if you're in battle, and doing battle, you're going to get some dents. Your sword's going to get some dings. I mean, when I was falling timber, you're always very, very careful to not get your chain in the dirt and in the rocks because just that much, and it takes the corner off the tooth on your saw, and it won't cut like it's supposed to, and it makes a big, big difference. And I, applying that spiritually, when our swords, I mean, when you're slashing and fighting, and you know, it loses its edge. How many of us we lose our edge, and we've got to get back into the room where the Lord can resharpen our sword, knock the dents out of our armor. Amen. I just thought that was so powerful, and I asked Bob if he'd share it, and I'll probably have him again share it on Sunday because it goes so well with what we're talking about as far as the armor of God. But I want to talk to us tonight. I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And it's talking about how the enemy goes around. Before we do, let me back up and ask this question. This is what I closed with last Wednesday. And it was this. Why would a Christian not want to use the full armor? What keeps a Christian from using God's power? And I gave these four answers, and I want to just very quickly go back over those to bring us back up to speed. Why would a Christian not want to use the full armor? Well, answer number one that I put down was they don't sense danger or recognize the power of the enemy. Amen. They don't sense danger. Listen, if you don't know that you're in danger, hello? There has to come something in our life that puts us on guard. You ever been walking somewhere and that hackles on the back of your neck? Just, hey. Right? I mean, because because we sense something. Listen, we've got to sense the danger. Number two, why would a Christian not want to use the full armor, and what keeps them from using God's power? They don't have all the weapons. They have never been taught the significance and the importance of those weapons, which is why I said we should start talking about the armor of God, which is what we're doing now on Sunday. Number three, they are untrained in the use of those weapons. Listen, that's why we're here tonight. That's why we have Bible study, is so that we can be trained in the Word on how to use our weapons. Listen, without practice, no soldier can be ready for battle. Why was David so effective against the giant of Goliath? I'll tell you why. Because when he was watching the sheep, he practiced. He target practiced. See that pine cone over there? And he was good. He was very good. That's why he had all confidence, not only in himself, but he had greater confidence in what the Lord's ability was to work through him. That's where we've got to get to. Number four, this one hurts. This one hurts. Why would a Christian not want to use the full armor of God? What keeps them from using God's power? Number four, they may be in a comfort zone. They may be in a comfort zone. Hey, life is great. I'm just floating down the river of life. Everything's good, but we can't. I mean, we might have our earphones on or something, listening to our favorite music, our favorite Christian music even, and we don't hear the roar of the waterfall that's just downstream. We may be in a comfort zone. Perhaps we are nowhere near the battle, or we are somehow compromising with the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Here's the challenge. Be sober. And it's not talking about not being drunk. It's talking about be sober. Don't be all, whoa! Be smart. Be sober. Be vigilant. What does it mean to be vigilant? Keep an eye out. Keep pressing on. Regardless of what the circumstances look like around us, be vigilant. Continue to press forward. Because, why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Period. Verse 9. Resist him. Resist him is a military term. And it's not, when it says resist him, he's not saying, now, you just stop it. Just quit. To resist him is a military term. You've got to say, look, dude, you ain't coming any further than this right here. You are not coming through me. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know what that's saying? That's saying that people around the world are fighting the same battles that you and I fight. They look different. They're packaged a little bit different. But at the end of the day, it's the same battle. It's good against evil. It's dark against light. Right against wrong. We're all around the world in the brotherhood is fighting and experiencing these same sufferings. So at the same time that believers can cast all their cares on God, we must still be self-controlled and alert. Where does self-control start? Where does self-control start? Huh? Self-control starts in prayer. Self-control starts in your mind. Self-control starts when you're walking down the hallway and you look over your shoulder and you see the Lord in there putting a shine on your armor. Self-control says you need to turn right. You need to get in that room and get your clothes on. We have to still be self-controlled and alert. Alert. What's it mean to be alert? I mean wide-eyed. You've got to be alert. You've got to be awake. You've got to be ready for whatever. I mean, every morning when I drive down the Umpqua River to Elkton, I'm on high alert because there are deer everywhere. I mean everywhere. And bears. I've about run over so many bears this year, it isn't even funny. I mean, and you just, it gets foggy and you're trying to get there, but you're trying to peer through the fog. You're on high alert. So, here's another way to look at self-controlled and alert. These words are also translated, pay attention. Wake up. Pay attention. Wake up. Urgently commanding the believers, for the warning must be heard. I'm telling you tonight, pay attention. Wake up. Peter had given the same admonition in chapter 4 and verse 7 regarding prayer. And he said this, that the end of all things is near. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Have you ever had so much going on in your mind that you just couldn't pray? I mean, things are just bombarding you, and you're just like, I don't even know how to pray. You know why we're filled with the Holy Ghost? Because He knows how to pray. And when you and I don't know how to pray, that's when the Holy Ghost kicks in and intercedes before God for us in the heavenly language. That's what being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost does for us. Amen? Paul also urged in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6, he urged the Thessalonians to be alert and self-controlled. Peter's talking about it. Paul's talking about it. Listen, we've got to come to the place where we start believing what we're reading. So both words refer to not being lazy in one's faith, but in fact maintaining discipline and steadfastness. Think about that. Both words refer to not being... How many of you just every once in a while slip into this lazy mode? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand. So as soldiers wait and watch, so believers must constantly be alert for the enemy. Amen? You are, after all, a soldier. You signed up when you accepted Jesus. All the persecution that was facing the believers ultimately come down to one source, your enemy, the devil. He's roaming around, according to verse 8. He's roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking to devour you. The devil has other names. Satan. The accuser, Beelzebub, but he's the source of all evil in the world, no matter what name you put on him. He's Lucifer. He's, you know, all those things. The reality is, he hates God, and he is, in fact, God's archenemy. He is God's arch enemy. So he also hates God's people and is their enemy as well. He does not like... Newsflash. The devil don't like you. Here's another news flash. He's doing everything he can to kill you. And if he can't kill you, he wants to at least shut you up. And if he can't kill you and he can't shut you up, he wants to at least discourage you. And if he can't do those things, listen, he'll probably just make you busy. I'm just so busy. Just so busy. Had a guy come up to me yesterday at the mill. And he said, hey, he said, I really desire to be back with you guys in church. Would you pray for me? I said, yes, I sure will. But at some point, we just have to get up and go. Those doors are the hardest doors that there are to walk through after you haven't been through them for a while. What's everybody going to say? Hey, we ought to just welcome anybody that comes in here, regardless of how long it's been since they've been in here. Amen? And I believe we do. I really do. But he don't like you and I. He hates us. And so listen, while Satan has no power against God, he does what he can to harm you and I as God's people. But let me tell you this. Let me give you some hope. The only power that the enemy has over your life is the power that you surrender to him. Church, we've got to understand he is a defeated foe. He has no authority in your life and mine. Peter describes him as a prowling, like a prowling, roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Anybody ever watch Marlon Perkins? Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom on Sunday night back in the olden days? His little sidekick was old Steve. Get him, Steve. Steve running out through the damn Sahara Desert barefooted. Running through the Serengeti barefooted. Marlon yelling, get him, Steve. Jumping on 49-foot long anacondas. Hang on. I've seen some of the craziest stuff. Oh, is it Jim? It is Jim. It is Jim. You're right. It ain't Steve. So what does Steve know about anacondas? Nothing. That's right. It's Jim. I should have remembered that. It's Jim. Squirrel. Yeah. But let me tell you something. All the things that we've watched on Wild Kingdom. You people kill me. Yeah, it's great. Listen, I mean, I've watched lots of National Geographic stuff. We used to watch Marlon Perkins on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And when lions and cheetahs and leopards and all those kinds of things, when they go to attack, when they go to find something to eat. Listen, they don't sit back and study the herd and say, that's the strongest one in the bunch right there. Let's have him. No, they find old sick Wilbur. He's in the back of the herd, you know. Some other lion probably bit him one other time and he's hobbling along. That's the one they go after. How many times have we watched those cheetahs run down a little baby? That's the way it is in that world. They look, when they're looking for something, they like to attack the sick. They like to attack the young. They look for straggling animals that are in the back of the pack. Just kind of, you know, I mean, just kind of lollygagging around, looking, chasing butterflies or whatever around. The next thing they know, they're in real trouble. These are the ones that they choose as victims. They're the ones that are alone. They're the ones that are not alert. The lion prowls very quietly. He watches and he waits and then suddenly pounces when the victim least expects it. Let me tell you something. The enemy works just like that. He waits. He is patient. He'll drop something on you at the most perfect moment. And if you're not alert, and if you're not paying attention, you're going to be in trouble. They use fear. Lions use fear. They use their roar to drive the prey. This bunch of lions are out here and they're doing this. Growl, rawr, rawr. And everybody's like, oh no, there's a lion. And so they run this way, but over here is a whole bunch of other lions that are waiting for these scared ones to run that way and they're going to attack them. And the weapons of our warfare are for offense, for offensive, for fighting, for the offense, not for defense. Yes, they work defensively, but only defensively as you're walking and fighting into the battle. They're never meant for you to turn around. Don't ever run from the roar of the lion. Face the roar of the enemy. Face him and say, look, you can squall and bawl all you want. I know in whom I have believed and I am able to persuaded that he's able to get. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't run from the roar. That's what gets them killed. Because when you put the breastplate of righteousness on, it's the breastplate. It's not a back, it doesn't say there's a back cover. It kind of had things that went over their shoulders and it just kind of hung on them there. That's what it was for. Your kidneys, your lungs, everything is exposed. Don't turn and run from the enemy. Face him. Fight him. Stand your ground. The fear, they use fear caused by their roar to drive their prey into the jaws of another lion. And once we have identified the devil as our enemy, you and I need to understand who he is and how he operates in order to effectively resist him. This word resist is a term of defense rather than attack. The best way for believers to resist is to remain steadfast in your faith. What does that mean? It means you don't move. You stand your ground. Hold your position. The word steadfast in Greek is used also in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. It says, I have set my face like flint, referring to rock-like resolution. Flint is very, very hard. So like Peter, who became the rock for the church, you and I are to set our resolve to resist Satan. To resist. But we must trust in Christ, who is in fact our cornerstone for our toughness, not in our own human efforts. We can't be like somebody else we know who walks down the hall and sees God in there and the Lord in there shining up and knocking the dents out of the armor and saying, I got it today. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus real bad. Listen. We all do that. We all do that. We're all like, hey, I got this. And it's just like what Bob said. The Lord would say to you and I, you don't have a clue what today holds. I know what tomorrow is going to hold for me. I'm going to get up at 1:30 in the morning. I'm going to leave the house at about 2:45, and I'm going to go haul 4 loads of logs. That's my plan. That don't mean that's what's going to happen. See, it's one thing to have a plan, but to know exactly what's going to happen, I don't. There's just too many variables. There's just too many opportunities out there for the enemy to try and attack and influence our life. and we cannot leave the house without putting on our armor. When I get out of my log truck, the first thing I do is put my hard hat on before I ever get out. People are like, why do you do that? Because do you know how many knots I have on my head because I didn't? There's some dents up there, I promise you. It's called prevention. It's called part of the armor. And we gotta wear it. So we have to trust in Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. It's not where I'm stopping, but that's the bottom line. We have to trust in Christ, who has already defeated the enemy and will, in fact, ultimately destroy him. So one of the other keys, not only is he in 1 Peter 5:8-9 described as a roaring lion, in John chapter 8 and verse 44, we know him as a liar. He is a liar. The Bible says, and the truth isn't in him. Look at what this says here in John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, that's pretty clear if you ask me. He is a liar. The intent to murder comes from the devil. The devil was the instigator of the murder of Jesus Christ. He is the perpetrator of the lies that the Jews believed about Jesus, their very Messiah. So the attitudes and the actions of the Jewish leaders clearly identified them as followers of Satan, though they may not have been conscious of this. Listen, you can tell, I got in trouble for saying this one time, I'm going to say it again. Because when we're doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, we are being used by the enemy. And good religious folk don't like to be told that they're being used by the devil. But here's the reality. If you're doing stuff that is not in accordance to God's Word or under the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you're being used by the enemy. It's a fine line. Walk in the ways of the Lord. That's what he says. The intent to murder comes from the devil. The actions and the attitudes of the Jewish leaders. They were the leaders of God's people, yet they bought the lie of the enemy. Remember what the missionary guy said that was here a few Wednesday nights ago, that in Malta, where he is ministering, where his mission field is in Malta, and it's very, very Roman Catholic. And he said, listen, if God's word and what the Pope says doesn't line up, you go with the Pope. Forget God's word. You go with the, listen, that's goofy. That is completely goofy. That's why we're in the mess we're in. I posted a thing on Facebook that said something to the effect that the church is losing its power because the church has begun to conform to the ideologies of the culture and not stand for God's word. And there's people who didn't like that at all. But guess what? It's still true. We are to stand against the culture and line up with God's Word. So by their hatred of truth, their lies, and their murderous intentions, it indicate how much control the devil had over them. They were God's chosen people. But here they were Satan's tools in carrying out his plan. They spoke the very same language of lies. Satan still uses people to obstruct God's work. Look at the very one that Jesus Christ himself handpicked in Judas Iscariot, and he betrayed God. He'd walked with him for 3.5 years. He'd seen all the things that Jesus done. He saw the miracles. He saw the dead raised to life. He saw all those kinds of things. He'd heard Jesus talk. He'd heard him teach. He'd seen the whole thing. And yet, he believed the lie of the enemy for 30 stinking pieces of silver. And he sold out the Son of God. If you want to know how we're to react in that kind of a situation, we look at the way Jesus reacted to Judas. You can't see in Scripture where Jesus treated Judas any different than he did any of the rest of them. Isn't that amazing? In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 13, we see another one of the characteristics, if you will, of the enemy. So he's a liar, and he's like a roaring lion, and he's also a deceiver. And in Genesis 3 and 13, this is what it says, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" The serpent deceived me and I ate. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Glory to God. Hallelujah. That day's coming. That day is coming. And we have to hold to that day. Listen, when God asked Adam about his sin, Adam blamed Eve. When God asked Adam about his sin, Adam blamed Eve. And Eve turns around and blamed the serpent. How easy it is to excuse our sin by blaming someone else or the circumstances. Here's this. God knows the truth. Amen? God knows the truth, and He holds each one of us responsible for what we do. Woo! That feels good, doesn't it? He holds us accountable and responsible for what we do. Here's the thing. We need to admit our wrong attitudes and our actions and apologize to God. Well, how many of us have already done that? How many of us have done it again? How many of us do it about every day, 5 or 6 or 10 times a day? And here's the deception of the devil, okay? Because I'm in the same crowd as you are. The devil comes to you and he says, "Listen, 10 times today. 10 times today you've said you're sorry and blah, blah, blah." He's done with you. That's why you keep doing it. That's why you keep messing up. Because he has no power in your life. He's kind of given up on you. That's the lie that he's trying to get y'all to believe. Huh? It's a lie from the pits of hell. You're exactly right. And the way we defeat that is we say, "Devil, you know what? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knew me from before the foundations of the earth. He knows the very hairs on my head. He's got them numbered. He knows my end from my beginning. He knows everything about me. He knew who I was when he called me." And he appointed me. It's what, how my life is unfolding. I just have to, regardless of the messes that you and I make with our life, we've got to keep coming back to God and say, God, forgive me. I repent. Help me clear my mind. Help me to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod, the whole deal, the belt of truth. Help me to walk in yours and not believe the lie of the enemy. How easy it can be for us to excuse our sin by blaming someone else for our sin. Well, I was just having a bad day. You know, under the circumstances, this is just the way it is. Well, listen, as God's child, you're not to be under the circumstances. You're above and not beneath. That's God's word. God knows the truth and He holds us responsible. Don't try and get away with sin by blaming someone else. Hello. The devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, the one who has been let free and has deceived all the nations, receives his just punishment one day, church. One of these days, he is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. He's going to be put where he belongs. Him and all of his little demons. I'm telling you, they're going in the pit where they come from, and they have no authority any longer in your life and mine. That's going to be a great day. That is going to be a great day. That's going to be a better day than even finding out the results of the election. That's going to be a good day. When you know one day that's going to be when we're in glory. Hallelujah. And we're going to be in the presence of the Most High God, where there is no sin, where there is no pain, where there is no death, where there is no lying, where there is none of the things that He represents. None of that's going to be there. And it's going to be like this huge weight. And we're just going to be like, wow, how good do I feel right now? It's going to be unbelievable. But for now, we got to walk. For now, we've got to stand. For now, we got to resist. For now, we got to press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's now. We got to quit walking down the hall, looking in, seeing how nice our armor looks, and going, I got this. Because God's Jesus sticking His head out the door going, no, you don't. Come here. I got a little something for you here. And you and I would do well to listen to Him and to put on that armor. Amen? I don't want to start the next session, the next section tonight. We've only got a few minutes left, and so I'm going to pray. I want to really encourage you to be here on Sunday. Want to encourage every one of you to call somebody, tell somebody, look, we're talking about, we're learning, we're studying about the armor of God, piece by piece, individually, and encourage folks to be here, or at least watch by way of the internet. But it's going to be better if they're here. Amen? You know why it'd be better for them to be here? Because of exactly what I said before. You know why Jesus said, don't forsake the fellowshipping, don't forsake the assembling together one with another? Because if the enemy can isolate you, how many of you understand this? There is safety in the herd. There's safety in the herd. How many times have we watched on Marlon Perkins, the wildebeest, some lion will jump on a wildebeest and the other wildebeest will come and attack the lion. And oftentimes, they kill the lion. But if old Wilbur's out there by himself, he's in trouble. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you that you've never given up on me. A lot of other people have given up on me, but God, you've never given up on me. Lord, you never will, and I my faith is in that. And Lord, you won't forget about any of the rest. You won't give up on any of the rest of us, Lord. You have a perfect plan. And Lord, our job is to walk in that plan, to walk as close to you as we can, to put on the armor, to dress for the battle, Lord, to walk in the battle, to be alert, to be steadfast, all of those things. Set our face like a flint and with rock-like resolution, Lord. Help us to do that very thing. Help us to be sober and to be vigilant. Lord, help us to walk by faith. Help us to pay attention and to wake up. Help us to realize the end of all things is near. And one day, God, you're coming to get us. You're coming to take your church out of this place, Lord, and make everything right. And Lord, we thank you for it. God, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Lord, I pray for every person tonight watching by way of the internet, Lord, that you would minister to them, that you'd meet every need, God, that you would heal every sickness and every disease. God, for those that have had operations and surgeries and procedures, God, I pray that you would make everything right, Lord, for the battles and the struggles that they're facing, even in this room tonight, God. Lord, I pray that you'd bring an end to it. I pray that you'd resolve it, Lord, that you'd bring peace in the turmoil. Lord, I pray for provision in places, in people's lives, God. I pray, God, for depression to be gone. I pray for the spirit of depression to just be gone. Lord, the oil of joy would replace that, oh God. And Lord, I just thank you for it. God, we just simply look to you tonight. God, I thank you for the fact that you have everything under control. And God, we're grateful for it. We love you for it. And Lord, we just look forward to what you have for us. Looking forward to Sunday, God. Speak through me, Lord. Give me the words to say. God, I pray that somehow it would resonate it with somebody, that they would get the victory, Lord, that they need in their life. And I thank you for it in advance, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Hey, thanks again for joining us here tonight by way of the internet. I just believe that God's doing some great things at Harvest Christian Assembly, and we want you to be a part of it. So God bless you. God go with you. Have a great night. We'll see you.